month or two ago, I started this series of 22 sermons that I'm going to do, or teachings, and on Psalm 119. And so here's number two. We only got 20 more to go after today. The Word of God cleanses us. That's what this one is. And it's from Psalm 119, and it's the bait, the letter bait section, which is 9 through 16 verses. And the letter bait represents bina. Bina is the Hebrew word which means understanding. Those of you who take my Revelation class know that. Having discussed the basic obligation to study, in the first 8 verses, the ones that begin with Aleph, and the word Aleph equals study, the psalmist now delves deeper into the realm of divine knowledge by applying perception and careful analysis. The psalmist teaches that one must apply the Word of God to solve problems in every area of our lives. As the second strophe, is the second portion begins, the classic question is raised in verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? The question is classic because it is the great issue of the Bible. How can a sinner stand in the presence of a holy God? Didn't we just talk about that a little while ago? That in order to see a holy God, we have to become holy ourselves? How can we be washed and how can we be restored? The answer to the question is as follows. By observing your word. Period. By following what you say. This observing includes two things. First, the Word of God cleanses us as it separates us from this world and all of its uncleanness. Thus, Yeshua tells his disciples, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He says that in John 15:3. But second, the Word of God also cleanses us as it directs us in the paths of righteousness. It not only separates us from the world, it separates us to God. The Word works to bring us into the will of God. How can a youngster purify his path? In the initial series of 8 verses, beginning with Aleph, the psalmist discussed the highest priorities of a holy life, i.e. the establishment of values, of standards, of goals in accordance with the spirit of the Torah and the mitzvot, the good deeds that we do, the instructions. There he refers to the main thrust and direction of life as a derech. What's derech? Road or way, right? Which implies a broad road. As a person makes his way down the high road of life, merrily skipping along, hallelujah, we're off to Kansas. However, he is often detoured by numerous problems and details that avert his attention from his main goal towards peripheral pursuits. The psalmist figuratively calls these distractions paths. These unidentified paths confuse and puzzle the traveler. The highways of life are mapped out clearly, whereas the side trails, guess what? They're uncharted and unknown. The inexperienced traveler whose sense of direction is not well developed may be led astray on these remote paths and never find his way back to the main road of life. We get on these rabbit trails and we never seem to get back sometimes, right? Nancy talks about rabbit trails all the time in her Christ life. Derech is the high road and Orach is the side path. The 8 verses of the letter Aleph, the psalmist speaks of the high road, whereas the 8 verses of this letter Beit, 9 through 16, speak of the side paths. The high road refers to the main purpose and direction of one's life. A person must first study Torah and then seek the Word of God in order to map the course of a lifetime in God's service. The side path refers to the unexpected events that turn up in the course of a lifetime. A person is seldom prepared for these events. We're never ready for these things, which are obstacles on the highway of life and interfere with the pursuit of our primary goals. Sometimes these obstacles can sidetrack a person and steer him away from the highway. For instance, one may be a dedicated observer of the Sabbath, the Shabbat, right? But when acute financial problems arise, if he's not strongly committed to observing the Shabbat, he may stray from the highway of Shabbat observance and be sidetracked to the path of Shabbat desecration in an attempt to solve his financial problems, i.e. to get a part-time job or expand his hours. Thus, the psalmist queries, how can a youngster purify his path? How can we assure the young and experienced student that he has accepted the highway of Torah, that he will not be led astray on these circuitous paths of life? The psalmist replies that no elaborate safety measures are necessary. If the youth is sincerely dedicated to Torah and observes the mitzvot without compromise or deviation, he is sure to keep him on the right path. And God will help him to keep from straying. God will take care of you. If you don't want to break the Sabbath, you don't have to, because God will show you a way not to. Proverbs 3:6, know God on all your highways and he will straighten your paths. Similarly, David declares in Psalm 16, verses 8 and 11, I have set Hashem before me always. You will reveal to me the path of life. Purity, by observing your word, purity is retained by meticulously following the instructions of the Torah. How can you be pure and blameless and holy? By doing what it says in the Bible. If such discipline is taught from your earliest times of your life, it will become ingrained in you by nature. And strict adherence to the law will be natural and effortless. Unfortunately, many of us didn't realize that till we were older. When we became teenagers, Barb. Last week, right? Yeah. Oh. Next, the psalmist confesses, with my whole heart I have sought you, in verse 10. Because of his singleness of purpose, his whole heart, he then can continue, oh, let me not wander from your commandments. God not only reveals his will to us, he keeps us in that will. We must note again that the psalmist is not a legalist. He's not doing legalistic things here. He has no illusions that he can do God's will in his own strength. He is entirely dependent upon the God who calls him to keep him. This divine keeping is a matter of the heart. It's not a legalistic thing. I don't do these things because I have to. I do them because I want to. I focused all my attention on the study of your Torah, and I concentrated all my intellectual powers upon it. I did not study Torah for ulterior motives, to gain fame as a scholar, to show off that I know it all, to enhance my reputation. Rather, my sole purpose was to seek you out, to know you more intimately. The heart of the righteous earns him admission into the Garden of Eden. Gan Eden is the Jewish concept of paradise, of eternity, while the heart of the wicked drags him down to the abyss of Gehenna, hell. Thus, Isaiah 65, 13 and 14 declares, therefore says my Lord Hashem, behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and you shall howl from a shattered spirit. The heart brims with happiness only when it is filled with yearning to seek out God. You should be wanting to seek out God all day long, every minute of every day. That's your ultimate purpose. Not getting from here to Dodge Street. Yeah, you have to go there to do the work you do, but you should be going with God. God should be driving your car, not you. Don't get stuck behind them Iowa license plates and start cursing because they drive too slow, because God knows how to get you there, and he'll get you there when he wants to, not when you think you need to be there. And I have that to learn a lot, too, from. Let me not stray from your commandments. Ultimately, man comes to realize that true wisdom is unattainable through human effort alone. Do you think you could be smart all on your own? Do you think that pilot landed that plane in the Hudson River all on his own? Do you think that birds hitting an engine happens all the time, but birds hitting two engines on a two-engine plane happens a lot? No. That pilot said most pilots go through their whole life never having an accident. This guy was trained to prepare for that, and he spent his whole life preparing for that very moment, and yet you never know when it's going to happen. And look at that. That was the only runway in New York City. There was no other runways. Putting that down in the city would have been a disaster. Thousands of people would have been killed. But he did it. And he did it perfectly. The nose was up in the air so it wouldn't flip over. The tail hit first, so it just like it's supposed to do. You think he did that? No. God did that. God is my co-pilot. I think that was the name of a movie once. Yeah? The heart brims with happiness only when it is filled with yearning to seek out God. You want to be happy for the rest of your life? Seek out God.
Yeah.
Forget about that wife. Don't go out seeking a wife. Isn't that what the song says? You want to be happy for the rest of your life? Get a pretty woman to make her your wife? That's not how you do it. You seek out God. You can't be happy because another person makes you happy. You can't be happy with another person until you're happy by yourself with God. Boy, that took me a lot of years to figure out. Ultimately, man comes to realize that true wisdom is unattainable through his own human effort. If God himself does not bestow wisdom upon man, then he will become victim of self-deception. Therefore, the psalmist pleads for the gift of genuine divine wisdom. What did Solomon pray for? Wisdom. He didn't pray for money. Moreover, even if a person has attained wisdom, he may suffer persecution and affliction. Doesn't mean you're going to merrily skip down the yellow brick road. You're going to trudge the road of happy destiny and forget his knowledge. Therefore, the psalmist begs for salvation from all troubles which might cause him to study intellectually. Keep that fly away from me so I can concentrate on what you're saying. Kill that mosquito that's biting my arm. Please, God, take these distractions from me. In my heart, I treasured your word, verse 11. I have studied diligently in order to not forget the words of your Torah. For if I allow them to be forgotten, I will surely err and sin against you. So that I would not sin against you, the verse continues. The evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara, has no power to harm the heart that's filled with Torah. Do you know that when your heart is filled with Torah, nothing can hurt you? Nothing evil can attack you. Did you ever see a guy rob a bank who was smiling and happy? Doesn't happen. Bank robbers are generally not happy people. Yeah. Similarly, Psalm 37:31 says, the Torah of God is in his heart. Put it on your heart. Circumcise your heart. His footsteps do not falter, for the evil inclination cannot lead him astray. That's in the psalm. As the word is memorized and internalized, it becomes directive for our lives. No wonder Yeshua tells us in John 8:31 that if we abide or continue or remain in his word, then we are his disciples. His word will determine our walk. You see, you don't even have to go to John's class. I just told you everything you need to know. But I think you should go there because John has a lot more to say about it. As a new Christian, when I became a Christian, I was encouraged to memorize Scripture. This investment in memorization of Scripture is for a lifetime. Again and again, in preaching and in counseling, these verses come back to me. I say them automatically. I know when I tell you, this says that, and I always tell you, don't turn, I already know it. I think you've heard me say that sometimes. How grateful I am that as a young believer, I was introduced to hiding God's word in my heart. Yeah. You know, those things are not up here, they're in my heart, those verses. So I still got storage capacity in my hard drive on my head. But I got another internal hard drive in my heart. Verse 12, blessed are you, Hashem. One who blesses God. Do you bless God?
Yeah.
You should. Recognizes that only the Almighty Creator is the source of life and growth. Thus, a bracha, bracha is a blessing, is a declaration of submission and humility before God. Similarly, a person who keeps the chukim, the statutes, demonstrate his submission to God because he observes even commandments that are not comprehensible to the human intellect. Thus, the psalmist prays, Hashem, just as I recognize that you are blessed and I humbly, gratefully accept the blessings you bestow on me, so too teach me to accept your statutes with humility. Teach me to be grateful for the opportunity to serve you with limitless loyalty. Excuse me. In light of a life over victory of sin, he continues, teach me your statutes. God will be his rabbi. As John promises in 1 John 2:20, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Such teaching then leads to confession and meditation in verses 13 through 16. In verse 13, with my lips I recounted all the judgments of my mouth, your mouth. In the preceding verse, the psalmist pleaded with God to teach him. Now, his statutes. Now he strengthens his plea by bringing proof of his loyalty. If I comprehend and appreciate something, I never keep it to myself. I always exert myself to share it with others. You can't keep anything unless you give it away. Therefore, Hashem, it is worthwhile to help me to serve you because I will utilize all of my learning in your service. I learn a lot of things. I study God all the time because that's what I do full time. And so I study Torah to pass it on to you and to others that I talk to. But, you know, it's just, you got to keep giving it away. You can't keep on to it. What good is it? Why would you want to keep it by yourself? Don't you, when you hear something, don't you want to shout it out to everybody else? There is a difference between recounting chukim and sipur is the word for recounting. Chukim denotes revealing facts or events unknown to the listeners, whereas sipur means repeating things. I'm sorry, chakim. Whereas sipur means repeating things that are already known to the listener. However, the enthusiastic and knowledgeable speaker discusses his topic with such insight and depth and detail that the listeners gain a new understanding and an appreciation of the subject. Thus, the psalmist declares that God's judgments are so dear to him that he will never cease to recount them. Notice here his high view of inspiration. The law of God comes from his mouth. It is literally his word. Didn't we say that was the word?
Yeah.
I rejoiced over the way of your testimonies. The mitzvot designated as testimonies attest to our rich spiritual heritage. They remind us of noble ancestors and glorious legacies. These observances, therefore, fill our hearts with joy. Yep. By fulfilling these memorial precepts, we become ennobled and crowned with splendor in our relationship with God. Thus, we read in reference to the coronation of a king from the house of David in 2 Kings 11:12, and he placed upon him the crown and testimony. The fact that a person was crowned as a scion of the Davidic dynasty was a testimony to his distinguished royal ancestry. How do you say that? It is pointed out that the letter Vav is usually silent in the word Avotecha, but it is, in this case, it's pronounced Avotecha. Usually it's pronounced Adotecha, but 9 times in this psalm, the word Avotecha is fully spelled with the Vav. In 8 instances, the Vav is not pronounced, but in verse 144, it is not. It's believed that whenever the Vav of Avotecha is pronounced, it alludes to the fact that the numerical value of Vav is 6. We all know that, and that God created the world in 6 days. All creation of the 6 days testifies to the sovereignty and wisdom of our Creator. as much as in all the riches. This compares to a minister appointed to oversee the king's treasures. I was once a finance officer in the Air Force, and I had a time where they gave me $6 million in cash. Man, I had all the riches of the world. I had at my disposal an Army helicopter. I was doing an operation in Germany with the United States Army. And I had $6 million in cash. And I went down to Frankfurt to cash the check and pick up half of that. I had $3 million on this helicopter. I had the only gun. And we were 20 minutes from Switzerland by helicopter. Well, Nate, what do? Your base is like an hour and a half flight over there, and Switzerland's right there, 20 minutes down the road. $3 million, one gun. Duh. Well, you know the rest of the story. Obviously, I made it back to my base. But I really thought about that. Wouldn't you? Although none of the wealth was his, the sight of these vast riches gladdens the heart. Boy, did I get excited. Because they remind me of the privilege and honor I enjoy by serving the powerful and prosperous king. You know, that was before I was even saved. I didn't have no qualms about it, you know. I could be the biggest bank robber in German-American history. Similarly, when the psalmist surveys the tremendous spiritual treasures of Judaism, the living legacy which was gathered through the ages, he rejoices over a privilege of being a son of Israel and a servant of Hashem. I had $6 million. I cashed checks for 40,000 Army troops that were there, paratroopers from the 101st and 82nd Airborne Division who were all over Germany, used to fly in this helicopter every day, land at all these weird sites, cash checks for them, sell them marks, German money. And I flew back, and at the end of the 40 days, I turned in all the vouchers and all the money that I had left, and there was not one penny off. Balance to the penny. That's the way you have integrity. But this confession also brings him joy in the way of your testimonies. God's way encompasses his mighty acts and his revealed will. The joy that the psalmist has in all riches, he now has in revelation. In verse 15, of your precepts I will speak. The pekudim, the precepts of Hashem, are easily comprehended and readily appreciated. Therefore, the psalmist observes that he speaks of them even in his casual conversations, and his listeners accept his words. The pekudim are the orders which God issues to us concerning the people and things which he committed to our care, including our families and our fortunes and ourselves. Since the pekudim are divine mandates in connection with mundane responsibilities and domestic duties, the term conversation is especially appropriate here. And I will peer at your paths. The man who has God's orders in mind at all times, even when he converses casually, takes care not to lose sight of God at any time. Therefore, he is forever vigilant to observe God's paths, lest he stray from them. And in verse 16, I will occupy myself with your statutes. This means to be totally involved in a particular subject or project. Totally immersion. Like a child so totally absorbed with playing with a toy that he is oblivious to everything else that's going on. I am just doing this for God. I am not even oblivious to what's happening around me. The psalmist says, do not think that I perform the statutes mechanically by rote, because they do not appeal to human logic. On the contrary, I am fascinated, that's the word, by the statutes which afford me an opportunity to serve God selflessly. Therefore, I am totally absorbed in this service. I will not forget your word. I'm so preoccupied by this pursuit of your statutes that it's impossible for me to forget them. This positive promise is followed by a negative in parallel. I will not forget your word, verse 16. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This forgetting is more than memory lapse. It is abandoning and turning from what God has said. In this strophe, the word of God cleanses us from sin, claiming us from the world. Yeshua prays in John 17, 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word of God also keeps us from sin. Yeshua promises in John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This freedom he defines as freedom from the bondage of sin in verse 34. Such is the cleansing power of the word of God. If you want the word of God today, it is near and dear to your heart. It is the Torah. It's right there. And it's available for all who want it. Start reading. Start meditating on it day and night and studying it daily. Open your Bibles every day. Read the word that it says. Meditate on it. You know, just start with one verse and just let it sit on you all day long and just go with it. You know what? It will change your life. Did mine. Did a lot of you, I'll bet. Amen. Amen.